Welcome to By George Podcast.
Wow, that was your version of this.
We got an awesome opportunity to go check out the practice facility.
Yeah, there was a ribbon cutting ceremony for all the green coats, the gold coats, someone wearing a coat that donates over like 10K a year. So we snuck into that little event. What do we see? What would you say?
I would say it was a bit of a premature unveiling.
Okay, you know something about being premature too. So, why? What? Why would you say that?
Because phase one is complete. Although, is it complete? Is the decoration part of it still part of phase one? I know they're practicing in it, which is great. It's functional.
Yeah,
something the fans needed to see?
Probably not at this point. So, was it functional? Yes. We got to see the space and that was all fun and, you know, whatever. But it was essentially like, you know, you're about to buy a new car and someone shows you the piece of metal that they're going to mold the car out of. Like, it was a tad early to get like a visual, you know, idea of what it's going to be. So, right. Yeah, I mean, I feel like
now the space itself. Huge. It's a very large space.
And let's break down like sort of what some of the speakers were talking about. I know Paulson had mentioned that he went to like the Celtics, practice facility, and that, you know, when they practice their three pointers on the side hoops, that I guess it intersects with like the middle court. Here you have a ton of space. You could practice your threes individually on the side, all while running like a game in the middle. So, it has potential for that. And so additionally, you have kids that can go late night if they need to shoot hoops.
There's definitely enough baskets. Like, if each kid just wanted to get their own basket, I mean, there's at least eight. And
they don't hang from the ceiling either. So they're like legit baskets.
Right.
So.
And we talked to some players, and here is what Otis Livingston had to say about the practice facility.
Okay, so this is Brian Lawrence of By George. I'm here with one and only Otis Livingston. Say what's up to your fans.
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
So tell us a little bit about the practice facility. Coach Paulson kind of joked on you a little bit about going through slumps. Were you actually not able to get into the gym at times?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, there'll be times when Eagle Bank Arena wasn't open or there was something going on. And then, like, the rack would be busy. Or the Lynn gym would be busy, the cage. So, yeah, I mean, that's true, you know what I'm saying? So the new practice facility is really great for us. We get to work out, you know, when we need to, when we want to. So it's really great for us.
What are the hours? Is it legit open 24 hours? Can you go in there at 3 in the morning if you can't sleep? Or does it have hours?
Right now it closes when the rack closes. But I think they're going to work on, like, a key thing where, like, we can get in whenever we want. So that would be really, really good, beneficial for us. If we want to get up at 3 in the morning and work out, we could do that. So that's really great.
Tell the fans something. I mean, we need them to show up this year. That's kind of why By George started, was to help drive some, you know, put out some good content, drive some fans to come. What can you tell them about how it makes you play and just give them a message?
It gives us so much energy, you know, seeing you guys here, our peers. Y'all get loud. This is really cool to see y'all support us. We want y'all to come out. We're going to have a great year this year. We're working really hard. And we're just going to play our hardest for you guys. So come out and support us, and you won't be disappointed. I promise you that.
All right, last question. Kyer told me in an interview that you guys have been working much harder this offseason than you did last season, specifically in conditioning. Yeah. Is that the case, and what would be the difference?
Oh, yeah, that definitely is the case. Because we want to take a step as a program. So, you know, that saying, if you want something you never had before, you have to do things that you never done before. So we've really stepped up our conditioning program in the off season, and we're just ramping everything up, you know. So intensity, focus, everything is just ratcheted up. So we want to take that step as a program. So that's what we need to do.
Did you really wake up in the morning and go, like, boating and do some, like, marine work? What was that about?
It was a cool experience. We woke up at, like, 4:30. Got here around 5, and then we drove to Chesapeake something, and it was a body of water, I know that. And we did marine stuff, you know, it was like boot camp. We did that following a day where we were at the softball field from like 7:30 to 11:30. So it was tough conditions, but it brought us closer as a team. You know, we were forced to rely on each other for strength, encouragement, confidence, all of that. So that was a great experience.
All right, man. Thanks, Otis.
Thank you,
first interview with By George, even though you've been following us for a while. So we appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you guys for everything you do. Thank you.
So, man, it sounds like Otis didn't have the opportunity to shoot. And we actually got an amazing player out of Otis the last 2 years without, you know, ample time to practice.
Full access.
What are we going to expect this year now that he could shoot till, you know, midnight?
Well, Paulson did have that joke in his speech where he said, you know, there was a time when Otis went dry and couldn't hit any shots, and he asked Otis what was going on, and Otis said, you know, Coach, I can't get in the gym. And that's why we asked him about it, because, you know, and Paulson loves clowning on Otis a little bit, but
right. You hear the story and you're kind of like, yeah, right, like someone's got to find a hoop, but right. Apparently, you know,
we had to ask Otis,
yeah, and apparently it was like a legit thing. So,
and planning your practice schedule around volleyball and all these other activities,
Bringling Brothers and Disney on Ice, we got right. it. Yeah,
so I mean, that was tough. I think it's huge for the program.
Do you actually think, though, like, our, you know, and this is just kind of going off topic here, but do you think, like, our shooting percentage might be better now with, like, a practice facility?
Well, it does seem like, you know, and if you saw our interview with Javon Green on our Twitter at @ByGeorgeGMU, he said that it's closed at 12 o'clock. And so every day after they're done with classes, they go and play from 8 to 10. And they maybe didn't have that opportunity before.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking, though, like, guys have extra time to shoot free throws. Guys have extra time to shoot, like, threes. Like, guys have extra time to do whatever.
And judging from their snaps, I mean, they're in the gym.
Right.
All the time.
And so, what's the famous quote? It's like, it takes someone 10,000 hours of practice to become, like, an expert at something. And granted, like, our guys aren't going to practice for 10,000 hours, but practice does make perfect. And any little bit more of practice that you right. can get in will make you that much more of a skilled player.
It also is like a central home for the players. So some players probably went and shot at the field house. Some people probably shot at the, you know, at the yeah, rack. This is just a central place where everyone can go, be together, hang out, especially when they put in like the hangout area and the locker room. It's going to be a home for them.
Right. And so yeah, I'm really excited to see what phase two brings. Who knows when that'll be. But I know that, you know, we're going to see some Final Four graphics on the wall. We're going to see the building expanded even further. We're going to see, you know, a lounge and
study
area.
So tell me this.
And, you know,
do you think the practice facility makes a difference in recruiting?
Yes. I honestly think so, that, you know, you bring a kid that just recently went to, I don't know,
Rhode Island.
Yeah, Rhode Island.
UMass.
Georgia Tech. Who knows? And if these places have those types of facilities and we don't, it's going right. to be like, well, okay. You know, it's not going to really be a deal breaker, but I do think it's just like an additional notch.
Well, we caught up with Simpkins, and this is what he had to say about the recruiting.
You know, the recruiting battle, essentially, right. when it comes to other colleges.
And if the facility is going to help.
Okay, so this is Brian Lawrence. I am here with Coach Simpkins. Can you tell us a little bit about how this all unfolded, and did you have anything to do with it?
Me personally, no. But I think it's one of those things that once, you know, the turnover came with the coaching staff and what have you, and as applicants came in and interviewed for the job, I think this is one of the things that the school identified as, hey, we've got to have a carrot, so to speak, in addition to knowing that, hey, now that we're in the Atlantic 10, there's some things that we have to do programmatically speaking that we have to enhance, we have to get better at. And, you know, with the leadership of President Cabrera and obviously Brad, you know, they got this thing done. And I think any coach that came in and interviewed for this job, I'm pretty sure that was one of the things that they said, hey, this is something that you have to have in order to compete at the highest level in the A-10.
And from what we can see of the coaching staff, we kind of notice that you're always out recruiting, especially working with some local talent. You know, correct me if I'm wrong with any of this, but do you think that this practice facility is going to make a big difference while you're out there recruiting talent?
It will help. It definitely will help. But at the end of the day, the thing that's going to help more than anything is winning. Winning breeds success, breeds, you know, people want to have interest in your program and then wanted to step forward and say, hey, I'm going to make a commitment to come to your program. But nonetheless, you know, it's one of those things. Everybody, you know, obviously we're here in the D.C. area. We think we've got a ton of talent here. But it's talent everywhere, you know. And as a staff, we do a really good job. If it's not just myself, but our entire staff, we go out, we identify kids. And more importantly, we identify kids that are going to be for us. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be for everybody. It's just the way it is. You know, there's some kids at DeMatha, there's kids at Gonzaga, but all those kids, are they good enough? Yeah. But from a standpoint of, you know, personality and coachability, they may not be a good fit for Coach Paulson. And as assistant coaches, that's one of our responsibilities, is to say, hey, who's going to be a good fit for not only our program, but our coach as well.
Okay, and so and last question I would have is, so we've been through a lot of losing seasons as of late, and the reason why By George got started was to bring fans back into the seats. You know, we want to bring hype, we want to help create the buzz. What can you say to fans and students who kind of know about Mason basketball, but they don't really show up? Can you give them some advice and tell them why they should be coming to games?
Well, you come out and there's a tremendous amount of energy in that place that will only get enhanced with more people coming out. And you can't find much more, but many more things to do that are this exciting for the money that you may spend or no money that you may spend to come in.
It is free.
It is free for a student. It's free. You have no reason not to come.
Right.
But aside from that, you have a team of 13 guys that put their blood, sweat, and tears into preparing day in and day out to bring a great product to George Mason. So come out and enjoy. Come out and enjoy us. See what we got going.
Cool.
On.
Thanks so much, Coach.
Thank
our
you,
first
man.
Conversation.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, there's more to come. All
no
right.
Doubt.
So he seems pretty excited. That was actually our first time doing an interview with both Otis and Simpkins. And so we didn't want to throw them up on our Twitter. We wanted to save them. They'll be on our website. Make sure you visit our website.
We could say that, but Twitter just doesn't allow the time of the interview. So we'd either have to edit it.
They were a bit longer.
Right.
So you'll find them on our website. And you'll also hear them right here. Well, you just listened to them.
Yeah, obviously. They just heard it. And again, that was Simpkins kind of validating what we were saying earlier, that you know, no kid's necessarily going to pick Mason because of this practice facility. But again, it does
just kind of raises our standards.
Yeah, it just, you're now competing with other schools, and you have a new facility that you get to show off, and it's shiny and nice. And you know, we're going to have, you know, the other little, you know, knickknacks that are going to be, you know, I don't even know what I'm saying right now.
And I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, because
I think I was having a stroke right there.
Well, we're also watching Red Zone, so I know, you know,
it's hard.
You
know, I know. I'm watching my fantasy team and I'm just kind of like talking, but right. You know, okay.
But we do have a couple critiques. Now, first of all, we want to thank Mason for all the access.
Thank you.
Right. I mean, you guys, you know, especially the PR staff, you're responsible for a lot of our content and our success.
Right. And you guys did a great job putting on a show. You gathered up all the donors. You really showed them, you know, the I guess you were able to acknowledge them for what they've done. Chris Durlak donated $25,000.
I was shocked at the amount of, you know, how much money people donated. You know, Chris, how much did you donate?
Let's see, 5, 6, 8 cents.
So I mean, but the food.
Okay, yeah. So, like,
if we could just rip something just for the sake of
ripping?
Yeah.
Yeah. The food, as you know, it took, I guess, finger food to like the next level, because it was like mini hamburgers, mini hot dogs, mini pretzels, mini. And so,
and people loaded their plate, so there was none left by the time, like, we were at the end of the line. By the time we got up there, we wanted to let other people, we're not, you know, we don't donate, we want to let other people have
yeah,
some
no, no.
fun.
Let
but you shouldn't run out of food.
Right. And what I found myself doing at the pretzel display, I was like licking my finger, just picking up dabs of salt. Needless to say, I left a little hungry.
Right.
But that also gave us the opportunity after the unveiling, we did go to the JC.
Right.
Which is like a pretty much, I mean, it's not new, but the food court is now a more traditional food
right.
court. They it looks did, like a mall sort of.
They did away with the cashiers. Which has to be a good thing, because all I can remember from college is waiting in those lines.
If anybody was there during like the 2004 to 2010 era, you just had that like one black lady who was like, "Make some money, a bonus bucks. Make some money, a bonus bucks." It was like the same every day, and I was like, "It's Mason money."
But the
I'm never using my bonus bucks.
The options are way better. So they used to have like a Red Hot and Blue that was nubby, a pizza place that was very disgusting, a little Asian restaurant that I didn't eat at. And a Burger King. Now they got Blaze Pizza.
But yeah, no, that's legit. It's almost like an and pizza.
Right. I think I may go back to campus just to have it.
So you're going
to
travel all the way from DC, where they have some of the best pizza, at least in the surrounding area, to go to campus, park, walk all the way to the JC and spend $8 for a Blaze pizza. That's an absolute zip. But yes, if it means I could just,
you know, look at some sillies and hang out on campus, could be worse.
Hey, AO Pi. I just saw their last recruiting class. Kind of better than ours.
They had like, basically it's all like that kind of Chipotle style. You pick your toppings and they're actually opening a Chipotle. I mean, so.
Right. It's a ton more like fast casual millennial like cool places as opposed to like going to La Pat.
Yeah,
or and, whatever, and that
crushing Taco Bell.
Yeah.
So we were excited about that. But moving on, we did a lot on Friday.
From the JC, we moved on to the Eagle Bank Arena.
Eagle Bank Arena.
Where Mason Madness was going down, probably the event of the night. That's why we were there. In fact, we actually brought in another photographer for the evening, Ibrahim, who's now going to be sort of the third member of By George. So if you see him around, say what's up.
If you see a guy holding like a 3 foot long lens, yeah, he's with By George. So
anybody holding a 3 foot lens is from By George. No, but you'll notice like a beard, and you know he's a cool looking guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, he pretty much, when I saw him, he was wearing a crew neck sweater,
yeah,
joggers, yeah, and a Mason Dad hat. Right. And I was like, this is love at first sight.
You're Ben. Okay. Either way, so let's talk about Mason Madness and the events that went down.
So first of all, it was like, you know, the
cheerleaders were looking good. Dance team was looking good.
They kind of killed it. I was kind of curious about the controversy surrounding the dance team last year. So I did talk to the new dance team coach for a little bit.
Wow.
She said they're you know, that was last year. She's excited to take over a new program. She kind of has a fresh start, you know, so keep coming out to games, support them. I mean, they're out there helping and cheering every single game. So we just wanted to start with them.
No, and they did a great job too, by the way. I mean, they even the intro of Mason Madness, where they had the band, they had the dance team, the cheerleaders, they pretty much all hands on deck for the opening intro. It was awesome, right?
I agree.
It was a good show. It always is. Yeah. So,
And then obviously there was Red Panda.
Red Panda, so if people didn't know, it's the Asian lady who's throwing bowls on her head. And, you know, she's not too subtle about, like, playing up the Asian bit. Like, they have the whole, like, ding, 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 you know. And it's like, you know, it's 2017, but, you know, sometimes you got to still use the gimmick of being Asian.
Right.
but...
I mean, it was pretty cool.
It's always a good show. And it's like
the first time we've seen it.
No, it's not the first.
No, it's not going to be the last.
It's the quintessential NBA halftime show. I don't know why, like, everyone books her for just basketball games, but...
So Otis was dishing her...
Literally.
Dishes.
Yeah, bowls.
And she would then stack them on her leg, kick them up, and then catch them and balance them on her head. You know what?
On a flat tire tricycle. That's the trick.
Right.
That tire was flat.
That flyer.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, what comes next?
Then we had the...
the drummer guy.
Oh, yeah, Urbanology. He's there pretty much every year for the last 15 years.
I couldn't remember him. So, well, I guess I haven't paid attention.
Because you were
Ben. I was not. No, but
essentially, you know, if you're walking down the street in D.C. and you're by the Metro Center, you're going to hear the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got it.
Well, I thought that was
funny little bit though at the beginning. The guy, you know, self-proclaimed Las Vegas citizen. He's born and raised in Las Vegas. Had a moment of silence. Everyone's sitting in silence, and then Brian proceeds to tweet out, "Did we just have a moment of silence? You were like talking during all of it, so you had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't hear
like the gravity of the situation.
I just heard like we need to we're not multiple races. We are the human race. And I was like, where are we at? Is this a Mason Madness event?
Was clearly distraught over his hometown getting shot.
Okay.
So you sounded pretty callous.
I missed that and then deleted the tweet.
Well, thank God, because I told you to delete it.
Right. So I was a bit lost. But he killed it. You know, it was fun. My question to you, Chris, is would you eliminate the axe and then have a musician or something more current for the students?
Again, it's kind of viewed as more of like a family event, right?
Is it? I saw a ton of students. You remember? I mean, I was out there holding the sign, just screaming at people to follow By George.
Literally screaming at their face.
Right.
Hence the zippy follows. Just kidding. But no, I do think you have to have those America's, you know, next what is the show? America's Best Talent?
Got Talent.
The Got Talent. You have to have those types of acts. Right. People are like, whoa. And it's
got it does kind of seem like the kids got into
it's got to kill like 10 to 15 minutes.
Right.
So, you know, if yeah, we hired Drake, that'd be awesome.
I mean, I just want like a musician or a DJ, like raging, people coming down onto the floor, everyone's dancing.
Okay, that is a complete no.
That's not going to happen?
That's never going to happen.
Well, the day that does happen, you're going to see me going ham on the court.
Okay, well, I will never see that happen. So,
but we got to get to the dunk contest. Bit of a dud.
A bit of it, no, and not because of the dunks. The two that were actually executed were quite nice, but the problem was that you just had a dunk contest with two successful dunks.
And essentially, only three contestants.
And three contestants.
So only one round.
And like, you know,
like everyone there wanted to see AJ dunk like four times. Like it could have just been an AJ dunk show and the place would have been fine.
Right. And so let's talk about Grayer. So Grayer did like a 360 dunk. Looked pretty cool. We got it on slow-mo.
Yeah, check our Twitter.
Took like two tries or whatever. But AJ really took over the night whenever he executed the John Wall dunk
that he won the NBA dunk contest with.
And he killed it on the first try.
He jumped over the short white
guy, yeah.
Yeah, the walk-on. He was holding the ball above his head. AJ jumps over him, kicks his legs like out.
Out.
Like, we have it in slow-mo. You'll see how
the
difficult.
The extension is pretty.
Right.
You know.
And so then he grabs the ball, which is like at his knees. And then
it's below his actual balls.
Dunks it behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
Place erupted. He went nuts. Team went nuts. It shut the show down.
Right. And well, literally, because after that, they chose not to have any more dunks.
Right.
In fact, I was getting psyched to see like, all right, so what's
like
you know,
Grayer
what
versus? I mean, Grayer had a good dunk, little 360. Like cocked the ball back too. Like it wasn't just your normal 360.
Right.
At least give them a championship round. The crowd. But I think Paulson was a bit embarrassed.
Yeah, because he called out Kyer after he didn't dunk.
Right.
He's like, let's get two guys that could actually dunk. I was like, whoa. It's like, damn.
Yeah, he said, well, whatever. So, was it a good time? I thought it was awesome.
It was entertaining. It was hype. It was lit. It was woke. It was whatever, you know.
I think you can kind of see, like, the momentum and the hype within Mason basketball is a little bit more turned up than it was at this time last year.
Yeah.
I think I saw that all over campus. People were walking from dorms. When I was screaming at people, we actually did gain like 60 to 70 followers.
Yeah.
So people were out there. A lot of people I overheard, we already follow you. Oh, we know By George. Oh, we listen to the podcast. And we just want to thank you guys because without you.
You're having a heart attack, it sounds like. You're struggling
without you. You know, we don't get to do what we do. So right. We just want to thank everybody that was involved.
Also, I thought that, you know, for Mason Madness to put on such like a great show with the high energy, and we had like recruits in the building. So it puts us on display. It makes us look like an official college basketball school and that the students care and that the program cares. You know, hell, even from our women's team, we brought in the UConn girl that's local that went to Lake Braddock. It's just legitimizing certain things within our, you know, basketball program and then throw in the practice facility. I mean, it is just kind
of legitimizing
snowballing.
Too. I mean, I think we got what we're going to end on this.
Okay. Wow.
I think we got it. Cause we've been killing the game day experience for about 8 years.
Cause it's been the same for 18 years.
But adding the new scoreboard with screens,
adding the new lights.
Which, we didn't even see the lights. I don't know. They didn't even turn them on. But were they, like, even... We didn't even see them, like, visible, like, just even light structure.
That's how amazing they are. You can't even see them.
I mean, were they installed? But that plus the practice facility, I mean, Mason's taking steps in the right direction. Plus some of our recruits, plus Paulson delivering, plus, you know, our AD stepping up and getting the funding.
Yeah. I mean, there's. It's really hard to point out any point of our program that's going in the wrong direction.
Right.
You know, maybe our track team or something. I don't know.
So stay tuned because our next episode is actually going to feature our predictions for the starting lineup.
Yeah, it's going to be the overall prediction, everything, for predicting everything. The record, predicting, and we've actually probably been talking about this for like many weeks, but
because we're actually working on it, we're, you know, we're doing some.
How much have you done?
We're doing some.
Because I've done diddly squat.
Some constructive research.
Constructive research.
So stay tuned. We'll have that episode here out here in the next 2 weeks, and do check out our Instagram at @by_George. Guys, this is season 3. By George.
Wow. So I hope you write. Nigga think you gotta like that when I act like that, alright. I'm about to have to backtrack, tag on fact. You right. You right. You right, you right, you right. Already know what you want.